You're listening to the Just Go Bike Podcast. We're all about the culture of bicycling just for the fun of it. Your hosts, Kathy Murphy from the Morphology Podcast and Andrea Parrott from Parrott Talk, are joined by a wide variety of guests each week that delve into the social side of cycling. With tales from Ragbri Nation, come for the bikes, stay for the fun, and leave with a smile. And now, here are your hosts, Murph.
Hey, that's me.
And AP.
And that's me.
Hello, AP.
Hello, Murph.
Well, it sure is a great time to be an Iowa Hawkeye, isn't it?
Oh, you bet it is. For those of you who do not follow us on social media, Murph and I had the distinct pleasure of going to a March Madness game together the other day. We saw the women's Iowa Hawkeye team play basketball against Holy Cross just a couple days ago, and it was incredible.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. I need to give a shout out to your mother, Karen Parrott, for giving me the opportunity to go to the game, and thank you, AP, for giving me the opportunity. But holy moly, like the energy at Carver Hawkeye Arena. I mean, we all should say it's a great time to be an Iowan at all times, but holy moly, the women's basketball team is dominating.
I mean, they're going crazy. And I had the pleasure to watch the Hawkeyes again in the next round when they played against West Virginia. And that was a game. I think after that game, I have aged about 10 years and... my legs hurt from sitting down and standing up, and my throat hurts from yelling.
Because
I thought, oh, maybe if I yell loud enough, they'll hear me and take my advice.
there's just something to be said about being at a live event like that. It is crazy.
Yeah, and it was just so much fun and just so electric. And, you know, there's a couple of women who are seniors who will not be on the Hawkeye team after all of this. So obviously it's sentimental and emotional, but... you know, they'll have a little time freed up where they could be riding Ragbri. So I wonder, maybe we can make a conversion out of them.
Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, everyone who listens to this podcast who, you know, lives in the United States has probably heard the name Caitlin Clark at this point, just because she is national news. In addition to being, you know, one of the, I don't know, an amazing basketball player for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yeah. And if you haven't heard about Caitlin Clark, look it up. It's Caitlin with a C and Clark with a C.
Yes. So. And both AP and I have met Caitlin, and I did not give her any basketball tips. So I have nothing to do with her success.
I mean, I should have asked her for tips on my basketball game, which is non-existent. more appropriate. But so anyway, so I apologize for all the hawk talk, but I think at this point my vision has changed, so I can only see black and yellow until March Madness is over. So look, sorry, not sorry. But okay, so that's an exciting thing that's happening for our state, for Iowa. There's another exciting thing happening that has to do with Just Go Bike.
That is very true. We are creeping up on our 300th episode. Woohoo! Woo! So amazing. And I was digging through, like, way back into the archives recently, and I caught you, AP, doing a segment that you called Parrott Talk. And I think it was maybe the moment that you named it. I don't know. Did Parrott Talk exist before Just Go Bike?
It did not exist before Just Go Bike. I did think of the name before that recording, but it was pretty close to then. And Parrott Talk was born. I can still remember when we were first deciding to do a podcast. Is it worth it? Should we do it? Should we not? But it is hard to conceive of a time with the podcast before Murph was involved. I mean, what a journey it's been. But I prefer not to think about the time pre-Murph, because, you know, the light wasn't there for me. But
it was amazing, though, that I found like early episodes where I was doing a segment. So
sure. Yeah.
I mean, the podcast started, I think, over 7 years ago. So we've been podcasting a long time.
It started at the end of 2016. Well, we recorded the first episodes at the end of 2016. So,
wow.
Yeah, we've been around a while. So with that, as our 300th episode approaches, we're going to be reaching out to you, the listeners, for some feedback. I We just want your suggestions, whatever else you want to tell us, just to make sure that we're still on the track that we should be with this podcast and that we're actually saying things that are useful to you.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on our socials for more info.
Yeah. Yeah. What we can do better, what you guys want to hear.
Yeah. And maybe we won't change a thing, but it's worth asking. So,
yep.
Before we get to today's episode, we wanted to acknowledge something sad. We've recently learned of the passing of our dear friend, Matt Bernard, a.k.a. Porkchop Jr.
Yes, our deepest condolences to his family and everyone who knew him. I mentioned earlier I was digging back into the archives, and it was to find the episode featuring Matt.
Yeah, and if you can believe it, that was episode 2. Of the podcast, and we're on episode 300. So he's been a part of our community for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, even longer than that, but yeah. Kyle Munson was the one who interviewed him for that. And I believe there's another one with Murph as well. So yeah. Murph is going to be putting together an episode highlighting Matt and the legacy of Mr. Porkchop Jr.
Yeah. I hope to grab some parts of the episodes he has been on to put together something for all of us who are big fans of him and just to be able to reminisce.
Yeah, it was a great loss for our community for sure. If you go to the Ragbri social page or to his social pages, you can see the outpouring of comments and photos, and it has been uplifting while, you know, pretty bittersweet, but he was loved by a lot of people, and that's for sure.
Yeah, so for sure we'll be remembering Mr. Porkchop Jr. in a future episode, so stay tuned for that. Today's episode is about something not many people want to have to use, but are so glad it's available when they need it. Do you agree?
You mean a Kaibo? JK.
Well, that's true too, yeah.
Yeah, but just kidding, we're talking about the SAG service. All registered Ragbri riders can use the SAG service if their bike breaks down or if something happens that prevents them from riding.
Yeah. So there are, I'm sure that anybody who rides Ragbri has seen them before, but there are several 15-passenger vans with bike trailers on the back, and they patrol the route. When they see a rider in need, they'll scoop up the rider and their bike and then shuttle them forward to the next overnight town.
Yeah, so the signal to do that is to put your bike upside down with the wheels up on the left side of the road. That way it's visible to the vans and they can see you when they pass by, and you'll then give them a thumbs down sign when the van approaches. And that's how you would signal that you want to ride the SAG.
Mm-hmm. So AP, have you ever had to use the SAG wagon?
No, no way. Have you?
Well, I was going to say no way as well, because I have not. But as you'll hear shortly during my interview, Joe, the SAG driver, says, and I agreed with him because we both remembered at the same time, that on day zero of Ragbri, so not officially, you know, Ragbri had not started yet, but day zero, we put my bike in his van because we were going from the hotel to HQ. Uh-huh. So he kind of jokingly says I was his first SAG, and I said, okay, but that was my only SAG ever. So technically, I wasn't actually sagging. I was just getting a ride.
Yeah, we're just going to put a little asterisk by that one.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. In our family, it's a tradition that you will do anything it takes to avoid riding in the SAG wagon because you're there on Ragbri to ride your bike or on Ride the Rockies or any of our other rides. So that's why I reacted the way I did when you asked, because I would hear about it from my family for ages if I sagged on the ride. But it's nice if it's,
If
your bike does break down, if you really need it. Yeah,
exactly. Yep.
So today on the podcast, Murph is going to be chatting with Kaz and Joe Lindsay, two of our fabulous SAG drivers. These guys are amazing.
They are amazing. And I interviewed them back in January when we were at the Iowa Bike Expo. So you're going to hear some background noise in this episode. But they gave me some insight into the life of a SAG driver on Ragbri.
Ooh. So not to scoop them, but here's a few facts before we get to the interview about SAG driving.
Okay, so one fact, I think I already mentioned it, but there are multiple SAG vehicles that are spread out along the route each day.
Yes, exactly. And where they are is completely dependent on how many passengers they have in their van. So, you know, they may be further ahead if there's not that many people that want to ride, or they may be further back on the route if they have to pick up a lot of people.
Yep. And once the van is full, the van, along with those bikes, goes to the overnight town before going back on the route for more riders.
That's right. A sag wagon isn't really a taxi service. So once you're on the sag wagon, you got to go to the end town. So that's kind of the reason for that one.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing you might not know is that a sag service is dependent on town shutdown times, or the service times that we publish in our participant guide or the rider manual, where the sag wagons will cover the route all the way up until it quote unquote closes and you're not supposed to be on the route anymore. And that's one of the reasons it does close, so that the sag wagons can progress along the route in a steady pace throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest fact that we should share, and I think that Kaz and Joe state this several times, is that patience is required as you wait for a sag.
Well, there's not much that isn't helped by patience and a little good-natured attitude. And
true.
I know Kaz and Joe have that for sure. So they're some of my favorite crew members among many favorite crew members. So I can't wait to hear their interview, even though I was sitting there while you did it. Can't wait to hear it again.
Yeah, they're going to give us some more great tips on SAG service. So let's get to it. So here we are at the Just Go Bike booth at the Iowa Bike Expo, and I am surrounded by two very, very, very special people who play a big role in RagBri. So with me is Kaz and Joe, Lindsay. Hey, guys.
Hey, Murph.
Hey, Murph.
So I'm guessing there are lots and lots of people on RagBri that have no idea who you are, and that's maybe that's a good thing. I don't know.
I think there's some pros to not knowing who we are.
We like to keep it that way.
Do you want us to tell the listeners what role you play on RagBri?
We are SAG drivers on RagBri.
What does a SAG driver do?
We drive the van, the 15-passenger van with the bike rack on the back that scoops you up when you have a breakdown. And those breakdowns can sometimes be mechanical. They can sometimes be physical, and if we're being honest with ourselves, sometimes they can be emotional, and we're there to offer support and transportation for registered riders in that moment.
Yes, and I can say with confidence that I've never used the that is not true. Remember on day zero, I believe I was the first.
You get a ride with me.
Yeah, I think we were just going
from the hotel to the headquarters.
So I got to put my bike in the sag wagon before RagBri even started.
My first SAG of the week and yours.
And I think I was...
Maybe your only SAG ever.
Only SAG ever, yeah. But the cool thing about SAG service that blows my mind, right? So let's take a typical RagBri. Maybe there's 15 to 20,000 people on the road, which is either low traffic or no traffic for the most part. But
right.
Then somehow through these crowds of people, here comes a 15-passenger van dragging a trailer behind it, and somehow you safely get your passengers to wherever you're going, but also you keep the other riders safe. So can you speak to that?
Yes, we really try to be as cautious as we can, and it's dicey sometimes. We get to a point where we can pull off to the side, normally going against the grain on the left-hand side of the road. We'll find a spot that we can pull off safely. And we always have our flashers on, and we're looking in ahead for bikes coming up behind us and certainly who's ahead of us. We get off to a safe spot that we can pull over and then assess the situation and figure out what kind of help do they need. And
We try to communicate both with each other with kind of two eyes looking outside the van all the time, or two sets of eyes, but also communicate with bikers, right? Because there's some fanfare with the sag wagon. There's also some lack of fanfare, right? Not everybody likes to be sharing the road with the motorized vehicle. And
right.
as veteran RagBri riders ourselves, we understand that, and we're sensitive to that. But there are a couple signals that we're always looking for that might tell us that people are kind of in distress. Oftentimes a bike upside down is a pretty good indicator and a good way to flag us down. So if we see that, we might not be able to stop right in front of them safely, and so we might have to go an extra 50 or 100 yards to find that safe spot to pull off. So that's what we're trying to navigate.
Okay, so if I'm a person, and let's say I'm making this up, but let's say my chain has actually broken. I don't have the tools to fix it.
Yeah.
I turn my bike upside down, and then will you guys be there within 5 minutes so that I don't have to, like, sit there all day? Or, I mean, are you a taxi service?
We're not a taxi service, exactly.
Oh, man,
we don't have an Uber or Lyft style
We
app.
Don't give our number out to anybody.
Okay, I didn't mean to be, you know, overdo that, but I'm sure there are people who are like, I am battered and bruised mentally and physically. Yep. I want to go, but there's also 15 to 20,000 people. So how does that work? How do you know when to find riders?
Sometimes a little bit of patience is required, but our goal and the way we structure SAGs on the road is that we are spread out across the route throughout the day. So if this broken chain that unfortunately occurs in the first 15 miles, we should be along relatively soon. But we've also got ourselves spread out where if you broke your chain at mile 63 of a 75-mile day, we're going to be able to service that person too and get them into a mechanic. We can't really give an exact time estimate, but we do our very, very best to be spread out and staggered many miles apart so that we're servicing as much of the route as we can.
Well, and obviously your schedule is going to be based on how many people you're picking up, because if your van is full, it's not like you can pick up additional people. I mean, then then what happens? Do you have to go drop everyone off and come back?
Yep, we get off the route as quickly. Once we're full, or any of the SAG, and there are numerous of us out there, so it's not just like one SAG wagon. There are four or five, sometimes more, depending on what the year was. But we, as soon as we're able to, we get off the route. Prior to that, though, we are talking about being cautious. We're one of the few motorized vehicles that is actually on the route. All other motorized vehicles, we try to keep off the route. And so we're out there. But as soon as we're full, or one of the units is full, they get off the route as quickly as they can, hit hard surface, and then head into the overnight town. Not the next pass-through town, but the overnight town. And then we get in and drop off at the main headquarters or the main campground, and then head back out and just keep doing that loop.
And now, time for a training tip.
Let's talk RPE. What the heck is RPE? It stands for Rate of Perceived Exertion, and it's a helpful tool to help you manage the intensity of your rides or any workout. It's actually a scale that ranges from 6 to 20. When you work out, you assign a number based on many factors like how fast your heart is beating, how hard you're breathing, muscle fatigue, and more. On that scale, 6 means no exertion or at rest, and 20 represents maximum exertion. It's more of a snapshot at how you feel as a whole rather than one particular marker. Of course, you know how you feel after each time you ride, but remembering it is sometimes difficult. So how can you use RPE when you're training? On a high level, it's an easy-to-use tracking tool. After your next training ride, assign yourself a rating using the RPE scale based on whatever factors you choose to measure. You can find an RPE table easily on the internet. Maybe you end up with a score of a 13, which stands for slightly hard exertion, difficult but manageable. The key is to keep track of the same factors on each of your workouts. How tired you are, how sore your legs are, or even your heart rate if you wear a heart rate monitor. If you jot down your rating each time you work out, you'll start to notice patterns that may help you gauge future workouts. For example, if you rate each ride or workout with a low number, you probably need to increase your intensity if you're hoping to get stronger. On the opposite end, if after every ride you're completely exhausted, well, it might be a sign you need to dial it back a bit and then make small increases. It's interesting and rewarding to look back through your notes and see maybe a hill that used to give you a high RPE rating has now become a low RPE rating because of your training. RPE is just one training tool to help you. Now back to the show. Okay, so you may be biased because you are SAG drivers, but is there like a most popular driver or van that people want to be part of?
Boy, that's a really good question.
I want your honest opinion.
So I will say that during RAGBRAI 49, so calendar year 2022, Joe and I were SAG number 3, I believe.
I think we were SAG 3, yeah.
We were SAG 3. And to your average SAG rider, passenger, the number probably doesn't really matter. But I'm going to make a vote for ourselves because we did our very, very best to make that experience fun. And I say that because if you're riding with us, if you are sagging in for the day, or if you have a mechanical, or you have re-aggravated a knee or an ankle injury, you're probably not having your favorite RAGBRAI day. We're catching people in their worst moment a lot of the time. And so we want to get people into safety. We want to get people comfortable. But we also want them to still be able to enjoy some of the like conversation and camaraderie that can occur on RAGBRAI. Mm-hmm. And so once we get people loaded in our van, I would normally give people a minute to get situated, maybe offer to adjust the radio or the AC, right? I don't want to make this option too popular for folks. Please please ride your bike. But once folks were situated, I would turn around and I would say, all right, folks, I'm Kaz from Kaz and Joe.
And I'm Joe from Kaz and Joe.
And we're going to be taking you into Charles City today, or Woo! Whatever the thing was. And we kind of do like a pilot, co-pilot play-by-play as we motor on down the road.
And I need to point out that you are father and son. So you are a well-oiled crew when it comes to jokes and banter and knowing each other inside and out.
Almost 40 years in the making there, Murph.
Okay, so before we go, do you have, either of you have any, you know, from your perspective as a SAG driver, like any tips that you would give riders? Because I would assume that the goal, at least for me, is to never need the SAG, right? That's my goal. And hopefully that is for most riders, because we can't SAG 20,000 people any point.
Yeah.
So do you have any tips, either of you?
I really think there is there's some training that we need to do so that we're safe for ourselves and safe for our RAGBRAI community out there on the road. Again, SAG's going to be there to backstop you, right? And I think just coming prepared, both physically, coming prepared mechanically with your bike, are good things to do. And I think RAGBRAI, Coach Rattel put some of those tips and tricks out there, working with your local bike shop to make sure the machine is ready to go, I think sets you up for success on the ride.
Yeah, and you have to know, if you're signing up for a 500-mile ride, you're going to have to ride your bike. So training is obviously key. No question. Yeah.
And I think overall, I mean, the SAG service, the SAG wagon, it's a benefit to being a registered rider. So if you need it, it's there. But you shouldn't, this is just my opinion. I'll speak on behalf of myself, not on behalf of RAGBRAI or you two. But like, it should be something that's there if you absolutely need it. But you should go into your week not needing the SAG wagon, at least mentally. You're like, you know what? I'm going to ride my bike across Iowa, and if it happens, it happens.
Our feeling is if you have to SAG every day because physically you're not able, you probably shouldn't be on the ride.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, that's an easy thing to say, but mm-hmm. that's probably true.
Mm-hmm. We want to be the exception to the rule, right?
Yes,
we want to have capacity in our vans. We want to be on the route so that when we do get a hot day or when somebody does unfortunately have a fall, that we can be there to transport either a rider or their bicycle into town and provide that service. And if we're kind of oversaturated with folks who are maybe using SAG for other reasons, it prevents us from being able to provide that service in a timely fashion.
For sure. And to the people who really, really
need
it.
The people that really need it. Yep.
Yeah. So you mentioned years past that you were SAG 3. Have you moved up the ranks, or do you get to
moved up a little
bit?
To
choose what your SAG number is?
Well, we ended up as SAG 1 last year, and Joe and I had the privilege and honor of kind of leading that SAG crew.
Wow.
But I got to say, it really is a team effort, and we can't do this without trust in each other and faith in each other. And so there are some drivers who have been doing this a long, long time who are super talented people. Our friends Dave and Larry are coming to mind right now. Sure. And there's a lot of RAGBRAI knowledge and history in the SAG ranks. Last year it was really a lot of fun to be in kind of that lead role and helping coordinate and do some of the dispatch, if you will, of SAGs. But it's a true team and family effort, and we can't do it without that full slate of crew.
And most of the time, yeah, people are really having a bad day. Once they do see us, or once we're able to help them out, they're happy to see us. They get to finally relax and not ride their bike if they're at that point where they can't, and that happens. So it's a win, no question. Yeah.
And I can tell you, when I used to work for the Iowa Bicycle Coalition, I was lucky or unlucky. I think I'm going to say I was lucky to be the SAG driver for the Grand Gable, which is a one-day, 105 miles, and it got incredibly hot. So we were... And the way that the SAG wagon worked that year was literally on the back of your wristband or something was a phone number. And it would call all of us. And whoever was the closest would go pick up the riders. So I understand, A, how hard it is to be a SAG driver. Because if you get the call and they're maybe 10 miles away, that's a long time for that rider to be like, oh, my gosh, I just can't. I need to be in air conditioning or whatever. But then also just the logistics. You go here, and then you pick up somebody, and then you go here, and then you pick up somebody else. And then they're exhausted, like you said, Kaz, where you have to kind of feel the room. You know, they get in the back of the van, and they need a second. I think we had water for everybody. And and also everyone smells the same. It's not even like stinky armpits. It's like a weird salty smell.
Yep.
Febreze goes a long way.
So I guess the point of me telling that story is I really find a lot of value in what you guys do. So thank you so much. Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun to serve the ride in this way. And some days we miss being out there on two wheels. But it can be a lot of work, but it's also very rewarding for us to be supporting the community.
Yeah, it's fun to see the ride in a different way, and we just wanted to give back, and we're glad that we've been able to do that, and I think we're in for the long haul now.
Well, and I think there's very few people can say that they've ridden across Iowa at 15 miles an hour in a truck or a van, right? It's you guys and the paramedics. Like, that's it.
Yep.
Yeah, we do go pretty slow, so you're right. Yeah.
Yep.
No question.
Well, yeah. I think you guys should be back on again when we get closer to RAGBRAI, and maybe we can combine with Coach Ertl and really give the riders some good tips, and, you know, hopefully if they need the SAG wagon, they know to look for SAG 1, but more importantly, some tips to maybe keep them on the road on their bikes.
That'd be great. We'd love to come back and chat, and appreciate you having us on today.
Yeah, we're tickled to be here.
All right. Well, thanks, Lindsay, guys.
Thanks, Murph.
Perfect. Thanks, Murph.
Thanks for tuning in to the Just Go Bike podcast. Murph and AP will be back next week. In the meantime, check us out on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and X, formerly known as Twitter. And if you would like to contact Murph and AP with a comment about the podcast, or maybe you have a topic in mind, email them at justgobikepodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast, especially if you're a fan. Until next time,
just go bike!
Theme song by Ryan Steer, logo by Suzanne Milosevic, produced by Kathy Murphy, social media by Andrea Parrott, intro by Pumpkin. Until next time, just go bike.